News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. The morning after, how about the thing makes landfall around 9, I guess, last night, and it's scooted right across the state. Now, terrible circumstances with the tornadoes and water spouts on the eastern side of the state. You had loss of life there, but it's virtually gone.
Yeah, sayonara after less than 12 hours on land. And you're right, so far, only reported fatalities I've seen have come, and they came early. You had it in the early morning story from St. Lucie County with the sheriff there saying multiple fatalities. He said a modular home community for residents 55 and older was hit by a tornado. Their whole homes with them inside were lifted up, moved, destroyed. He said, I mean, everything in the hurricane or this tornado's path is gone. But I haven't seen reports of fatalities yet from, I think, any other county except St. Lucie County, although that doesn't mean that's not going to be the case, of course, as daylight comes on. But right now it's looking like those tornadoes that, like you said, were hitting the eastern side of the state before the storm made landfall western side of the state.
Probably 4 hours ahead of time.
Yeah, that ended up being maybe the most vicious of the storm, and then the storm surge that moved in as well. And I believe they had high tide this morning, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. So they're hopefully seeing water receding here before too long. But so far, not very many accounts of fatalities, which is great news.
You overheard my conversation with my sister. What did you take away from that? Because she was just out and about trying. She stayed at a house, a friend of theirs' house, that's got fortified shutters.
Yeah,
I think, and so
sounds like she's got it figured out. It wasn't the first time she had stayed during a storm.
Yeah,
gone and she said, "Hey, I can't even tell when I'm inside that there's a hurricane outside."
Wow.
That's how well built they have that house. But it was great to hear that she's safe. I know you were worried about her going in overnight. Leanna has family over there, friends she's worried about. And I know many of you out there as well. Especially this last storm, Helene. I was surprised by how many people, I guess I wasn't so surprised, but just being down here and when the storms move through the Gulf Coast, we naturally have a lot of family and friends that have moved elsewhere in the southeast or along the coast. So anytime one of these storms, if it doesn't affect us directly, it affects us by family or friends.
And in your case, Valdosta, where your brother is stationed, and Valdosta did get walloped pretty good.
It got hit pretty good, yeah, and they were without power. He might still be without power. I need to check in on him.
In 2 weeks.
Fortunately for us, they're the most mobile and youngest members of the family, so didn't have little bitty kids to worry about. They're pretty able to get around and deal without, you know, power for an extended amount of time.
How about the irony of my nephew, who I don't know what firm he works for, really bright kid, but anyway, he was doing his job and living remotely in Asheville. He gets hit by that storm, and he's from the Northeast. He's not used to all that, though he's traveled around a good bit now.
Don't tell me he was there for Sandy, too. Has he been in all of the storms?
He was not there for Sandy. Well, he was up that way, but he wasn't in the
eye.
Yeah, he wasn't in the eye. But so he had really, just to kind of normalize his life, he calls up Rosemary late last week and says, "Hey, Aunt Rosemary, do you mind if I come down a while? It's, you know, a mess up here in Asheville." So I don't know what his living conditions are or were up there. He was just looking to catch a break.
Yeah.
He goes to Bradenton, Florida.
How about that?
And now, so that was late last week, I believe. And now we have this coming. Now it's come and gone. He had a ride at another hurricane. His second one in 2 weeks.
That's a good story. He'll always have that, right?
He'll always have that. And she lives in a large neighborhood called Lakeview Ranch or something like that. And it's huge, Dalton. It's from one exit and maybe 2 or 3 miles to the next exit on 75.
Yeah.
It's the entirety of the
A community kind of thing.
Community, right.
Yeah,
It's where Dickie lives, baby. Dick Vitale lives there.
Oh, man.
So it's a community, and it's got
shopping. Have we checked on him?
And we have not checked on Dick. But it's not just the homes. It's got shopping and everything. You know, it's got everything you need. Like, bang, there you go. Where you don't have to leave the area if you don't want to. So she was just walking around this morning. We just talked to her on the phone. And she was saying, you know, our house is fine. I'm like, God, oh my, 120-mile-hour winds.
Yeah.
Also, she said the winds changed direction, as we kind of knew it would. Mm-hmm. And then, but she said, I forget what she calls it, that netting over your pool that everybody's got in Florida. It looks like a backstop, but it's, you know, it's like so you can be outside and not have gnats up in your eyeballs.
Right, of course.
So she says.
Just the pool cover.
But she said the. The one that they have, they were going to replace anyway after this hurricane season, and it was a little janged up. She said one of her neighbors, the whole thing was in the pool. So other than that, it's pretty amazing. She said trees are down, street signs are down.
Yeah.
I think the way they built those homes, whenever they built them, maybe in the 90s, they build them to last.
So far, so good. That's good to hear. And you know, we've seen Category 1 storms just cause immense amounts of damage. We've seen Cat 3, Cat 4 storms blow through and, of course, cause damage, but not nearly to the amount that you thought they might with just the kind of sheer force they were bringing.
Yep.
So hopefully this is one of those Cat 3s that ended up not being as destructive as it could be. There was a lot of rain in a short amount of time.
Right.
16 inches of rain on St. Petersburg. So that's a 1 in 1,000-year rainfall for the area. Don't they say that about every big rainfall now? 1 in 1,000 years, 1 in a month. But 16 inches of rain, there's nothing to sneer at there. And you mentioned your sister, you said, was ready to get rid of the pool cover, that ended up leaving anyway? Or
it's you know, it's not just.
Right,
you know,
but it keeps the bugs out. Right. Okay,
right.
So kind of the same thing with Tropicana Field, right? So you had Tampa Bay where the Rays play. And very few people watch.
Right. It's a dingy old place.
So, but they were using this just like so many big arenas in the eye of a natural disaster. They were going to use it as a staging area, right? And
National Guard, right?
They had 10,000, let's see, it was a staging site for first responders and state and local emergency management services. We'll play some DeSantis here in a minute talking about getting all of this ready for this storm and such turnaround from Helene. The facility was set to host 10,000 people. They had cots already arranged on the playing surface. I'd actually seen photos of that before the storm, but the roof just shredded to bits. It's that same kind of material that you probably do. You remember the was it the Georgia Dome during the tornadoes?
Yeah. It almost looks like
tournament.
Cloth or something like that.
Yeah, and it was just kind of hanging down. That looks like maybe the same material for Tropicana Field, and it's just, you know, torn to shreds. They said the trop was built to withstand winds of up to 115 miles an hour. Roof supported by 180 miles of cables. Connected by struts, and the stadium opened in 1990, but they're replacing it. So they're trying to replace it before 2028 with a new $1.3 billion ballpark. So it's kind of similar to that. I think they were planning on using it a little bit longer here, but the roof of the Tropicana field absolutely shredded. Probably the worst thing about that is that they were trying to use it as a staging area. Then another part of last night's storm that went viral, maybe no one really expected. Did you see Lieutenant Dan?
Joe Milanowski. That's his name.
Oh, I didn't even know he had a real name.
Yeah.
So this guy, he lives in Tampa on a sailboat, one leg. Well, he has two legs. One of his legs is cut at about the shin, so he's missing a foot, hence the nickname there, Lieutenant Dan. And people were worried sick about this fella because he was just damn determined not to leave his boat. He said, hey, it's a boat. It's a boat.
Yeah.
He's like, there's rain, there's waves, I'll be in a boat.
This makes all the sense in the world.
Right. He's
You're worried about the water. I'm in a boat.
He's thinking Noah, right?
Yeah.
He's thinking, I can ride this thing out. And he did. Despite the mayor of Tampa's best urges, and then at one point she even threatened him with arrest.
Getting arrested.
She said, for his own dang good, we're going to arrest him. Well, Lieutenant Dan.
He said, no, you're not.
Like, no, you're not.
So, isn't he a TikTok personality, too?
I don't know if he's previously viral on TikTok. This
okay.
is my first chance yesterday getting to get to know Lieutenant Dan. I only know that there's a News Nation reporter that was kind of following him around all day and just checking on him. He's like, are you all right, Dan? He's like, yeah, man, like, quit messing with me.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready here. And I even saw some footage during the during probably the strongest part of the storm whipping Tampa. And you can see his sailboat right out there just kind of tied off to the side of one of the docks out there, I guess. And it's just rocking and moving.
And maybe is that a 20-footer, do you think, or how big?
Let's see here. It's I don't know if I see any sizes on it there.
It didn't look tiny.
No, it's not itty bitty bitty.
No,
it's I bet you're right. Probably about 20 feet, and then
he could go downstairs.
Yeah, he had cover.
Yeah.
So and then after the storm, our News Nation guy gets out there and says, "Hey, you out there, Lieutenant Dan?" He pops his little head out, and so all is fine. He rode it out in the sailboat during the storm.
So if you are a TikToker, whatever you want to call yourself, the story in Newsweek opens up with this. The popular TikTok user known as Lieutenant Dan has survived Hurricane Milton's landfall. So user, would that mean he's on it?
I don't know either. Like, yeah, I'm sure that he's probably gone. He seems like an interesting guy.
Yeah, I think he's popular on TikTok and was before this storm. And now, you were saying, the mayor was kind of talking about, we'll arrest you and all this. And I'm thinking, the heck with that? You ought to name all your sports teams after, they ought to be the Dans.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Dans. He's the most courageous guy out there.
Is he going to be like, when the Bucks come back to play, is he 12th Pirate or whatever? I don't know what they call their fan of the game.
He's perfect for the for a Buccaneers game, right?
Yeah, he needs to be shooting the cannon right after a touchdown. Once we see how Raymond James Stadium looks after this.
Oh, that's true, too.
So far, the damage appears to be what the damage is. It's nowhere near as widespread as Helene. We weren't expecting that, of course. More on this after the break, plus DeSantis audio from before the storm.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Part of the job that you've got is meeting with decision makers from local manufacturing and healthcare and engineering firms, contractor firms. Well, we got just what you need. It's going to be next Thursday at Fort Whiting. It's the Partners for Environmental Progress Industrial Reverse Trade Show. It brings decision makers from industry together in one location. So you've got these clients that are decision makers and you need to do business with them, or you want to start to do business with them. You as a ticket holder get to meet all these guys. They're at one place, guys and gals. And I think it sounds great for business. Next Thursday, Fort Whiting and Mobile. An educational seminar starts at 9 a.m., by the way, and ends at 11:30 with the topic AI for Industry, Driving Productivity and Sustainability. That is free. At the conclusion, you can pick up a CEU certificate. You've just got to register, and I'll give you more information about that in just a moment. From noon to 1, there's going to be a VIP admission for a limited number of attendees, so you can be there first and meet all these VIPs and people who are important to what you do. And then 1 to 4, it's general admission. It's the PEP. Oh, by the way, there's going to be big groups there, too, including AMNS Calvert, Austal USA, Baker Construction, Evonik. So if they're a big firm around here, they're going to be there. The PEP Industrial Reverse Trade Show, Thursday, October 17th at Fort Whiting and Mobile. Get more information, and you can register it online at pepmobile.org. That's pepmobile.org.
Thank you. On the text line, Big Angie, texting in about our new viral sensation there in Tampa, Lieutenant Dan, who rode out the storm on his sailboat, survived. Big Angie says, yes, he's earned enough to get a new boat, $26,000 raised in a couple days. He might not need a new boat, Big Angie. He just popped his head out of the other one. But I'm sure everyone will take a new boat, right?
Yeah.
Said his TikTok name is JC, JAYSEA 331. That will be good for those of you with TikTok. That's one social media app I've managed to stay off of. So Bonesaw says, oh, how about this? Bonesaw, you've been texting us for such a long time with such great texts. He sends a selfie in a domestic plane. Looks like he's getting on a flight with a nice lady. He said, I wanted to make an actual announcement. Me and my actual future wife are on our way to Vegas to get married by Elvis. Apparently, she heard all the jokes I made about being married to a seagull, and I'd really appreciate it if y'all would openly make a statement that I do not have relationships with birds.
Well, you started the rumor.
He started his own dang rumor. Bonesaw, what I can tell you is you look happy now. I don't think you currently have any relationships with birds, but in the past, no. Bonesaw, we wish you the best. That's amazing.
Right. That is cool.
Good stuff, and congratulations to you and Miss Bonesaw there. Screened enclosure, many people pointing out that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
In Tampa there. I kept thinking you were talking about like a pool cover itself.
Yeah. No, but the enclosure, and it's funny, even along, and I don't, this is not a fact, but it seems to me, Florida, Lillian is the right across the line there from Alberta and this part of Alabama. It's like you don't see them. You cross over to Lillian, there they are. They're everywhere. it's a Florida thing.
Jason says, first he says, Dan, don't let your nephew come stay in Mobile. Mm. Yeah, we don't want him to bring the hurricane.
No, two hurricanes in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's asking for it.
Yeah.
And Jason also says, who's been a better governor than DeSantis? He wasn't a good presidential candidate, but a top-notch gov. I still see a future for him, possibly in presidential politics, but if you're in Florida, or even, heck, if you're here in Alabama, why would you want to see him leave? He was doing his thing again yesterday, hitting all the national media, talking to his folks on local media, and just doing it. He was doing a great job. I think you can say that no matter what side of the aisle you're on. And I was watching him on Brett Baer last night.
Even Biden said he's doing a great job. Did you see that?
Well, and, you know, I was saying this before Helene, when Helene was coming in, and I was watching the Weather Channel like the day before or very early that day. He went on the Weather Channel, did about 20-minute interview, straight up, no notes, just talking about the storm and what to expect and how they're taking care of their people.
Yeah.
And he continued doing it through Milton yesterday. He was on Brett Baer, Fox News last night. Here's some of what DeSantis had to say about just them being prepared for this storm.
We've had a massive evacuation. Most people heeded those calls. When you start talking about 10, 15 feet of storm surge, that's just Mother Nature. You're not going to win that. But we are prepared. We have the largest National Guard mobilization in the history of the state to respond for search and rescue. We also have our county and local first responders. So that effort will be robust should it be necessary. We've also staged over 50,000 utility workers. So they are in the state of Florida. They've been brought from all over the country. And so as soon as this storm passes, they are going to be beginning power restoration.
Yeah, and Baer also asked DeSantis, he said, you know, with all the recovery going on in the mountains up there in North Carolina and northern Georgia and eastern Tennessee, there's been a lot of talk about FEMA and whether they've been kind of hindering recovery efforts. And there's been a lot of rumors.
Finger pointing.
Some of that hadn't been proven true, for sure. But he asked DeSantis his thoughts on FEMA's assistance in the state of Florida. And DeSantis kind of took control here.
I've got to get the job done, and that's what I'm focused on. Now, people have asked me about, you know, is FEMA going to do this? Just let me be clear, in Florida, we run the show. FEMA's not running the show. We will utilize them to support some of the things we're doing, but you are not going to see FEMA running amok in Florida. I know that's been out there on the internet. That is not going to happen. I'm the sheriff that's in charge here, and we will make sure to protect you. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's heartening, I think. It's a good thing to see a governor or someone in a similar position to just take control and using the powers that he has to try to make his people as safe as possible.
And feel safe.
You watch what DeSantis and the way he handles this compared to, you know, other governors who may not even really make a peep leading in. Yep. It's amazing to see how wide a discrepancy there can be between leaders. But that's the way a state needs to be run. You don't need to be, you could accept federal government assistance, have them come in and give you some help. But
you're the state.
Be like the people in the state.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Take care of your own. And then worry about the help from elsewhere.
I love what DeSantis had to say there. That's the first I've heard that. 8:30 now, FM Talk 106.5. I'm going to talk with Rob from Lanyap on the way.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. It's a great time of year. Football is, of course, back. Right in the heart of football season, we got postseason baseball. NHL has started, NBA, and college basketball right around the corner. And there's no better way to make your game viewing experience more fun than playing underdog fantasy at the same time. Win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on your favorite player's stats, like touchdowns, passing yards, and more. All you need are two different players from different teams to make an entry, and then you can continue to add to that. Say, for instance, you think this weekend it's looking like a good weekend for Jarquez Hunter. Score a touchdown. You could say higher than half a touchdown, and then add on, say, the Yankees are playing a Saturday. Aaron Judge to hit a home run. Boom. You have one entry there, and you can keep adding on to that entry. The more you add, the more you could possibly win. I have such a great time. The app is so fun to use, especially during the game, to see how your picks are doing. Making those picks on Underdog is straightforward. Signing up is even easier. Just head over to Underdog's simple-to-use mobile app or underdogfantasy.com. Sign up with the promo code Dalton, and Underdog will give you a free pick to use on your first cash champions entry, plus up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. That's Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code Dalton. Claim your new customer special of a free pick and your deposit offer. Must be 19 plus in Alabama and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
We gambled a little bit. My sister gambled last night in Bradenton, but she won the gamble, I guess.
Yeah.
She's
storm moving through.
Fine this morning, yeah. Rob Holbert with the Lanyap. Never a gamble talking to Rob. He's going to shoot us straight. What you doing, Rob? How are you?
I'm doing good. We're just, enjoying gorgeous weather that other people are paying for.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Dr. Bill, he's been laying that forecast out last couple of days where it's just 10 clear days, a north wind coming through, but thanks to that storm. So looking forward to it feeling a little bit more like October. You got a stacked issue of Lanyap once again this week with plenty to discuss. And I really enjoyed the cover story this week, Rob. A bit of a history lesson that I certainly needed. I know some other folks could use it as well, but something that'll be on the ballot in November, not the presidential race, the pay-as-you-go program.
Scott Johnson put that together, and I thought it was a really good story. There's a lot of stuff there I didn't know either, and it's I didn't really understand the whole concept of what pay-as-you-go was, but it's a Mobile County is kind of special in that regard that we have this program. I guess if I can try to put it as easily as possible, that, the state requires that these road projects be bonded out, but we are allowed to basically put a bond up and then pay it off immediately. So we're basically paying cash money for those, for when we're building these roadways with pay-as-you-go bridges and roads and things like that. Doing that gets rid of all the interest money and a lot of other stuff. A young fired up Bay Hayes, when he was the county commissioner back in the 90s, was kind of the one who looked around and said, this is, we're paying so much. I think 2/3 of the money was going to administrative and other stuff to do some of this, to do some of these projects. He just thought it was crazy that how much money we were spending on all that. And so, an interest in those things. So just figured out a way to do this. And it's been really good for the county. We had 500 miles of unpaved road not all that long ago, and now we're left with 200, which still is a lot. But we've got a guy on the cover who lives on a dirt road, and he's wondering how long it's going to take for him to get his dirt road paved, and it's probably going to take a long time. But right. Because there is still 200 miles of unpaved road, but overall, the project, it appears to work really well, and everybody was kind of singing its praises.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. This has been up for vote so many times over the last couple of decades, and I look around, and no one's really asking questions. And I'm like, I guess I'm just supposed to know everything about this pay-as-you-go, and everyone's fine with it. It seems to pass overwhelmingly every time. But I guess because this amendment was passed so long ago, 1924, Scott writes in the story, to add this 6.5 mil tax, that it's like the old state government or local government, because of what they did, we're kind of able to avoid some of the inefficiencies of current state bureaucracy, in a way, is kind of what this pay-as-you-go program feels like.
Interesting.
And it's a tax that, because it was passed so long ago and has worked so well for us here, it's not as easily passing in other localities because, you're asking them for a new tax, right?
Yeah, this is a 100-year-old tax, and it was originally put in place to build the causeway. Mm-hmm. And so this extra money, you know, quote unquote extra money, was there when they came back in the 90s and said, well, what if we, you know, if we, I know we got to bond it out, but what if we bond it out and we pay it off and then we don't have to deal with all the interest and, mm-hmm. and the other things that go mm-hmm. with the bond. And that was really because we had the extra money, we're able to do that. And so that's why it's pay as you go. And, you know, I never really understood that terminology really very well either, but, you know, so they bond it, they pay it. It's basically we're paying cash for the work being done.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty interesting too how they're able to kind of line up these projects. They need to get it to pass on the bill, but every county municipality, every city municipality, kind of gets something right every time that they bring up a new plan, and that's an easy way to keep everybody involved. So
that's the same gentleman that was running the airport when I moved to town. Am I wrong about
that's
that?
Him. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very
okay.
cool. Yeah. Well,
He was a very young county commissioner.
Huh.
It was. Yeah, they named a building after him down in the Oakley area.
Yeah. Yeah, and also...
He's a nice guy. Plays guitar, too. I like him.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy, but that's something I never linked it up to this. He was a Chamber of Commerce guy, and he was an airport guy.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, he's been busy for a long time.
Good dude.
Well, I encourage everyone to check out the cover story for a fantastic history lesson on Pay As You Go. Then you'll have something you know that some of the folks maybe in your company don't.
You'll be the all-star at the cocktail party.
That way when you know, it comes up on trivia night, that
yeah.
Pay As You Go
oh,
comes up, you're going to be ready.
Take everybody down. That's right.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Another story that took our area by storm a few months back was the Jubilee. And a man that got a little roughed up during the Jubilee for was he taking too much flounder? Is that what that was about? And
he had too many flounder, and he didn't have a fishing license, even though he was over 65, so he didn't technically need one. But but he got in an altercation with the police because he was
being a little mouthy
about, you know, basically saying, yeah, you know, like, hey, I've been doing this my entire life. What's going on? And then I think he got pepper sprayed.
Yes.
So you know, it turned ugly. They were down there, the Marine Resources officers were writing tickets to people at Jubilees for the first time anybody can remember. So, because, you know, you're picking up fish out of the water and you need to have a license. So, State Representative Matt Simpson has a bill he is proposing to make it legal for you. If you're standing there and a flounder is right there, you can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It still has to be within the you know, the limits. It has to be the right size, and you can only take the prescribed amount of fish and crabs and shrimp, but you're not going to get arrested. You don't have to have a fishing license. It's, you know, you're just a casual, you know, the only time you ever fish is when there's a Jubilee.
Is this one of those things when Representative Simpson takes this up there to Montgomery, I think most of the people in the state will be like,
what are you talking about?
Don't know, don't care. Or they're going to say, hey, this seems interesting.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, he's going to face some opposition from the environment, the Marine Resources.
Right.
Yeah, the outdoorsy people.
Yeah,
I can't think of their name right now, but I'm losing it.
Alabama
I'm losing it
Marine
in the acronyms. But you know, he's going to face some opposition from them. But, yeah, I don't know that the people up in Birmingham and Huntsville and wherever are going to know anything about this whole process. But it is, you know, it is unique. There's only two places in the world that have it, in Mobile Bay and somewhere out in Asia, that this occurs. And so, you know, he's basically just saying, look, it's special. It doesn't happen very often. You know, it's part of our fabric of our community. Let some people go out there and pick up a fish or two and you know, not have the law breathing down their neck for not having a fishing license mm-hmm. for this 1 minute, you know.
Yeah, he came on Sean's show and was talking about that, too. He was, and of course, Sean, he's one of those outdoorsy people.
Yeah, he is. I've seen him do that, yeah.
And maybe to get this passed, if that's what we want, we set up some kind of nice presentation for the legislators up there in Montgomery, maybe mm-hmm. a standing pool of some sort.
Okay.
Can get up there, Throw some fish in, a little bit of water.
I mean, the government controls the weather, so we probably could have the government create a jubilee for them to all be there. They could go down and see one.
You talk about that, but to somebody who doesn't live down here, hasn't been around all this, it sounds like, what kind of magic trick are you talking about? Fish are jumping out of the
water. Right?
Yeah, right. It doesn't sound crazy to us because we know what it's all about, but it could take you an hour and a half to explain this to some Yahoo from Jasper.
so fish just come up and they're just sticking their heads out of the water.
I don't understand that.
It doesn't make any sense.
So we'll see. I know Matt Simpson was fired up about this after that story reported by Lanyap.
Yes.
So see the follow through here in the next few months at the legislative session. One thing they did get passed quickly last session, kind of as a surprise, was the IVF bill and providing some form of immunity to IVF providers around the state. But that came after the state Supreme Court said that hospital down here was liable for the loss of some human embryos due to someone breaking in and having a time in there and knocking some of those vials to the ground. But looks like that appeal has been denied. Big Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court denied a petition to appeal the Alabama Supreme Court's decision earlier this year. I'm trying to figure out where we stand on all this. Does it really matter after the state legislature passed this immunity for IVF clinics in the state, although Mobile Infirmary still kind of they're facing that lawsuit because they weren't grandfathered in, right?
Right, and this, I guess, civil lawsuit, that's fair play, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, you know, from my standpoint, it doesn't seem like it makes a big difference, and that's the court more or less said, you know, we'll take up, you know, we'll take up state cases if it is meaningful nationally, but this is not. And, you know, since it was handled at the legislative level, I don't think it's, to me right now, a lot of the discussion about it is just primarily politics ahead of the election. And I doubt we're going to hear a whole lot about it after that, because it is, it is kind of settled here. We've fixed that issue. When the Alabama Supreme Court essentially ruled that embryos are more or less children at this point, and that created a circumstance in which you could file a lawsuit, you know, for wrongful death, essentially. So that's where they are. It doesn't help Mobile Infirmary in that regard. So they've got that issue they've got to deal with. But I think for the state, it's kind of settled.
It's one thing where, kind of surprisingly, and I know some folks were upset with the way the legislature went about it, and they liked the state Supreme Court decision and thought it should kind of stand as Alabama law. But as much as we talk about the inefficiencies of our state government and how, you know, embarrassing stories just kind of come out from our state and are held in the national media for days on end, this one was settled rather quickly by the legislature after this came up this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think they realize that there's a lot of people out there who have tried IVF and it's very expensive. They're trying to have children, and then when you have basically all the IVF, all the clinics that are handling it say we can't do this anymore right now. It's shutting down.
Yeah.
So it was sort of an emergency situation for a lot of those folks.
Yeah, and I think that that no doubt meant a lot to them to have that opportunity. Rob, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, good stuff in this issue of Lanyap.
Really,
Rob,
good stuff.
If folks want to find the print edition, those are still easy to find. I see them everywhere. Or if they'd rather sign up online like I do and Dan does and get those stories directly to your inbox, how can they do that?
Well, you can go to lanyapmobile.com. Right now, we have the October surprise sale for a subscription. So it's a half price for the annual subscription. That's $35 for the whole year. That's 67 cents a week to have access, full access to our website.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Can't make it any cheaper than that.
You can go to it every day. That's what I try to stress to people. They're like, I just pick up that. I'm like, that's fine. But if you subscribe any given day, there could be two or three new stories, let alone Tommy Hicks, who is like some sort of some sort of humanoid.
He is a humanoid.
He's a sports writer humanoid.
He is. We you know, we don't discourage people. We absolutely, of course, want people to pick up the print issue, but and there's a lot of new stuff in the print issue, but there's also about 65 stories a week going on online, news stories and sports stories that are not in the paper. So there's a lot there, and it only costs you 67 cents more a week right now to be fully aware of everything going on in our community.
And so, it's also a bunch of writers and staff that you can, I think, by and large, trust. That means something.
Yeah, absolutely. Better than by and large. You can trust. We'll do it.
You can trust them.
Well, you can't ever mess up now, Rob.
Good stuff, Rob.
Yeah, we
appreciate your time once again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Y'all have a great weekend.
You got it. Rob Holbert with Land Yap on Mobile Morning, and Dan and Dalton, 851. Going to wrap some things up here. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. I want to thank the well-wishers on the text line, the listeners that were saying, hope your sister's okay. Turned out to talk to her this morning. She did stay in a home in Bradenton, Florida, about 13 miles off the beach. And she stayed in a friend's house that was a little more fortified. We're talking about the shutters can withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds or something like that.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference in the world, I guess. And in that neighborhood, the houses are built a certain way. They're built to withstand. And she said everything was pretty much fine. Things were knocked over, but property was pretty much okay, which to me, when that thing was barreling in, I'm like, I know that neighborhood. I know that what that place looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to look like that. And she says, by and large, it does.
That's great news. Yeah. And so, yeah, thanks to the folks who were reaching out about Dan's sister.
Yep.
And no thank you to the haters who didn't reach out
asking
about her this morning.
What's your deal?
What's your deal? Jason texted in. And, yeah, I wanted to talk about this because so many people are talking about, you know, the conspiracy theories that these hurricanes were completely invented by the government.
There's
a wide range of conspiracy, right? There's some people who think that the government completely initiated these storms or have the capability to create a hurricane out of thin air and send it to where they wish, which I agree, those folks may be a little off the deep end on those. But as Jason points out here on the text line, and what a lot of these government officials and media people miss out on when they completely say, you're absurd. Government isn't doing anything that has anything to do with modifying the weather, which is false. That's false. You remember the flooding in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, where they're... one of those airports was completely underwater.
That's right.
Out there, they cloud seed. They're trying to get rain... So that they
can got it.
Get green.
Yeah.
And there's actually green growing in the desert now up there. They're trying to get water because it's a place that doesn't get much water. There are places, and there's places in America where they are not massively changing the weather, but they're doing certain little things, right?
Well,
and so when that's completely taken out of the context of the conversation and you just call people idiots – then that's where conspiracy starts to continue to grow and to continue to grow and continue to grow. There's certain things that scientists are doing and that the government is involved in where they're trying to find ways to affect the weather. They say for the better good, and I hope that's the case, right? I don't believe they're completely inventing hurricanes out of thin cloth to destroy swing states leading into an election. But they need to acknowledge that there are certain things that they're capable of doing, like cloud seeding and things that do affect the weather. Because without mentioning that, then you're leaving out a pretty big part of the story.
Well, before you could affect the weather, probably the biggest manufactured weather, if you want to call it that, would have been like irrigation. I mean, that's the best we could do, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know it's going to rain. It might not rain, but to irrigate farmlands and plants and crops and things like that. That was probably way out of the box invention when it came
out. A long time ago, right?
So
yeah.
that was probably the great-great-great-grandchild to us now. And I don't think you create a hurricane out of thin air. You're probably out of thick air. You have to have a certain kind of air to create that hurricane.
Is there like a, can you Google how to create a hurricane?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene's face pops up. It's 8:59 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, and see you tomorrow.